and invite you to turn for our scripture reading this morning to the prophet Isaiah once again. This morning, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Worship of Him and of His Word that He has inspired and preserved for us for today. Isaiah chapter 9, at verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Amen and amen. During these days, we're talking about what child is this. Using a basis of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, verses that most of us know, many of us sing it, part of the Messiah. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Realizing that in the original text, it doesn't put a comma after wonderful. It's a Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Those names that Isaiah tells us are His names. A name, remember, always tells something about the character and the working of an individual. Their character, their conduct. It describes it all. The same thing that the Lord's Supper calls us to remember, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But who is He? Just recently, I was talking with an individual who happened to walk by on the sidewalk when I was working in the yard. And he stopped and talked to me a few minutes, and then he says, "And what do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a person who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ." "Oh, really? Who's Jesus?" I said, "Who's Jesus?" He says, "Yeah, it sounds like somebody who came from south of us somewhere." Who is Jesus? I was so shocked there for a moment, it took me a minute to kind of recoup and think of what I should say. And for some weird reason, I started singing to him, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." He stood there and listened to me for a minute, and he says, "Is that all?" I said, "Nope. Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." And then I shared from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He said, "Can you write that down for me?" Ran in real quick, got a piece of paper, and I thought, well, he's probably gone by now. But he was still standing there waiting. I gave him a little slip of paper, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. But it made me do some thinking. Here is a person who is right on our street. Who is Jesus? We've seen already He's a Wonderful Counselor. We're going to look at a moment at the fact that He's Mighty God. We'll see next week that He's Eternal Father. And then just before Christmas, He's the Prince of Peace. They look at all of those four names and begin to realize that's just a starting point. That doesn't tell the whole story. He's Wonderful Counselor, yes. He cares for all the decisions in my life. He's Mighty God. He has the dynamic and the power to keep all of His promises and to provide all the resources that we need. He is the Eternal Father. Like being in a family. He's not restricted or caught up in time. He's Prince of Peace, the complete fulfillment of God's purpose and plan. Are we listening? When we hear the words of Isaiah with all of these four names, do we really listen and think about what that means to us? See, the importance of what we do in the quote-unquote sermon is not so much the words that we say, but what does God want to do with His Word that we proclaim as He transforms our lives and renews us and builds within us? What is it He would want us to see and hear from these names? Notice that there are four nouns: Counselor, God, Father, Prince. And each one has a descriptive word to describe it: Wonderful, Mighty, Eternal, Peace. Interesting how God inspired His Word to put those together to help us to understand who Jesus really is. Let's focus for just a minute on this name, Mighty God, and think about it. When it says that He is Mighty God, focus on just the part of God. There is a religion in the world that every day, five times a day, there are words that go out over public address systems: there is one God and Allah is His name. It goes on to say that there is a prophet that He has, and that you are to give alms, and then that you are to make a trip to Mecca once in your lifetime. Most of all of that is just fabrication. It is not telling of the true God. We need to realize that the mighty God that we serve is the one true God. He is Elohim. El. The all-powerful one. He's God. The word describes one who is mighty, one who is all-powerful, one who is strong, one who is capable. Isaiah is telling us that this Jesus, this baby that's to be born, this son that's given by God, is none other than God Himself. Other scripture captures it so clearly. For example, Matthew 1:23, His name is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yes, He is God, so He can be God with us. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother, was told this in direct words from God Himself in a dream. He is God, more than a prophet, more than just a teacher, more than just a good man. He's God, the all-powerful, self-existing, complete, powerful God. Jesus, in His own testimony, says that He is God. He says in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. In chapter 12, He cries out and says, He who believes in Me does not believe in Me, but Him who sent Me. He who sees Me sees the One who sent Me. I am God. He claimed to be God. In the various gospel accounts, He is presented as God, pictured as a king in Matthew, as a servant in Mark, as a son in Luke, and as God Himself in the Gospel of John. The testimony of those who knew Him bears witness to the fact that He is God. When He asked, Who am I? You are Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself. But the other word goes along with it and fits in so beautifully. It's not just another repetition of power and greatness, though the mighty aspect is there. The word for mighty in the original language is gavar. It means strength. It means vitality. Successful warrior. It's commonly associated with warfare, and it has to do with strength and vitality of a successful warrior. Did you ever consider the fact that Jesus Christ fought for our redemption? He gave His very life against all of the forces of evil. He was successful in providing for our redemption. Turn with me to Psalm 89. And notice some very important words that describe something of this mighty power of God. Psalm 89, verse 13 and 14. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Notice that might and justice and righteousness and His loving kindness all wrapped into that one title, Mighty God. Not just a God who's there to wipe us out or to try to discipline us or to kill us. He is mighty God with might and with justice and with righteousness. But what is that might like? What is that power that He has really like? How mighty is Jesus? Well, think about the fact that the power of all of the creation is manifested by that term mighty. Remember the words of Colossians 1, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. The Gospel of John, where we have the description of the Logos, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says in verse 3, all things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The whole universe, the earth, and all of the accompanying planets, all of the creation, is a mere portrait of the mighty power of God. Another way that we can see His power is in His miracles. The miracles He performed while He was on this earth showed an unequaled power. The people noticed that. They were astonished at His healing. Mark chapter 6. Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by Him. The might and the power and the strength of God. That's Jesus Christ. Mighty God. Would you open your hymn book to hymn 59? Not to sing it, but to look at its words. And look at the testimony that is given based on Exodus 20. How the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Isaac Watts wrote the first two verses. A man by the name of Norman Clayton wrote the third and added a little variety in the tune that Isaac Watts had written. But look at the words. Would you read them out loud with me? Think about them. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word, and then proclaimed them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne, while all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care, and everywhere that man can be, Thou God art present there. Do you notice the title? I sing the mighty power of God. The power of all the creation. The power of all that is around us. But the greatest demonstration of His might was His resurrection. The greatest demonstration of the power that God has within Jesus Christ and the mighty power of God. Remember the words of Acts 2, God raised Him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in its power. He has a greater power than death itself. He has power over all. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 1, and consider what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The greatest demonstration of the mighty power of God is the resurrection. And notice the good news that that verse shares with us, along with 2 Corinthians 13 and Philippians 4:13. That power is available to us. That power is the power that works within us. You know, just consider the example of Paul. Paul said, because of all the great revelations that had been given to me, I was given a thorn in the flesh. He asked for 3 times that it might be removed, but it wasn't. But he said, God's grace spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ might dwell within me. Therefore, I'm content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Or even think about the example of Abraham that we saw in Romans 4. How he grew strong in faith, trusting the Lord and realizing the strength that only God can provide against whatever the enemy, against whatever the circumstances, the mighty power of God. Powerful word given in 1 Kings chapter 8 about His great power and might is that not one of the promises of God ever fail. Not one word has failed of all of His good promise, which He has promised through Christ, mighty God. Many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. And she rests in these verses and said that even though she is pretty well paralyzed from the neck down, has to be moved around in a wheelchair, yet she has a dynamic power in her message as she proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. She tells of a Christmas Eve when she was seated in church with her friends a number of years ago, candles lined the sanctuary. There was green pine decked with red ribbon everywhere. A soft snow swirled outside the meeting place. Everything was perfect, she said, except me. As the congregation sang, I did not feel a single stirring of adoration or praise. It's no use, her heart cried. I'm a failure. She sat there sulking. The bittersweet, wistful strains of a familiar carol began to be heard by her in the auditorium. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. She paused and said, that describes me. The song went on to say, O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. In her own personal testimony, she said, that's how I feel. And she cried out in her soul and bowed and asked the Lord to take her gloom away and bring her cheer. And she said, and He did. And He gave me strength to rejoice even in my sad condition. And over the years, she has ministered powerfully to people all over this world, resting in the things of the Lord. Even with the handicap, the challenge, the physical failure she felt because of that swimming accident so many years ago. Is that our testimony? Do we rest in the mighty God? Yeah, He's wonderful counselor giving us direction, but He's the one that wants to work within us by grace through faith, showing His strength and His power in our weaknesses. Put this all together in a few simple statements. When I'm trusting in and depending on mighty God, there'll be differences in my life. It will empower my daily living. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the problems, whatever the difficulties. There was a missionary who visited on a certain foreign field, and when he went to that place, he was told by the tribal leader, "You have 2 years. If you can prove that what you have to offer and what you are telling us is really true, then we'll let you stay longer." So for 2 years, he ministered. And he presented the truth of God's word. And the tribal leader came and said, "Well, I really have one question. Can you really teach my people to live better? We fully agree with the message that you are sharing. Our laws have laws just like yours, that we must not steal, we must not take our neighbor's wives, we must not lie." Missionary said, "Well, that's really true. But my master supplies the power to give us the strength to do that." The chief was startled. He said, "Can you teach my people to live better?" The missionary said, "No, I can't. But I can promise you that if they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God will give them the strength to do what's right." The tribal leader looked at him and said, "You've got 6 months to prove it." 6 months to prove it. The missionary began to preach the gospel even more clearly than he had for the 2 years. And he began to teach how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers. When we trust and obey, God provides the hope, the joy. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens in our lives, He can empower us in daily living. At the end of 6 months, the chief came in to him and made this statement, "You can stay as long as you want to stay." The missionary was a little surprised and said, "Why?" The tribal leader said, "What you are teaching is better than ours because your God walks with men and gives them the strength to do the good things that He requires." You see, trusting in and depending upon God empowers our daily living. It also encourages our prayers. I remember in several conferences where I've heard Johnny Erickson share the fact that so many times the things that have happened in her life has brought her back to prayer and realizing that prayer is the important communication with God. It's God who changes. It's God who does the working. It's God who gives the strength. And He calls on me to come in prayer and praise. And He will strengthen and encourage. But He also enlarges our vision. You know, we're living in such a boxed-in little thing with all the stuff that's going on, with what's happened this last week in our country, things that are happening around the world. We just think, oh, what's going to happen? And it's just a dark-looking future. Wait a minute, it should enlarge our visions because we have a mighty God. Yes, He's Eternal Father. Yes, He's Prince of Peace. Yes, He's our wonderful Counselor. But He's a mighty God and can work through even the troublesome events that we may be facing in the days ahead. May our visions be enlarged by the mighty hand of God. And may we be reminded that God always finishes His plans. in the book of Philippians. It says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's a song that I wish we had the music so we could sing it. That he who began a good work in you, by grace, through faith, as you trust him, and he is faithful to provide all of the resources you need for him to complete his purpose and plan. Beautiful words. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. God wants to do a work in each of our lives, and he will faithfully do it. As we come trusting in him and depending upon him. Thank you, Father, for your word and for its power. And I pray that you would take your word through the power of your Spirit and begin to complete that work within each of us that you want to do for your praise and for your glory. We love you, Father. We thank you and we praise you for what you have provided for us in Jesus Christ. And ask, Father, that you would meet our need and continue to work by grace through faith in our lives, transforming us, renewing our minds through the power of your word so that we may become living vessels of testimony of your greatness and of your love, of your power and of your good news. We sing of the mighty power of God. And we thank you for the work that you want to complete through that power working in us. We pray in Jesus' name.